Our study tonight is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 29 through 31a. Understanding whether God wants us to speak in tongues. Many Christians claim that since 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31a in the King James Version directs, "But covet earnestly the best gifts," that God wants every believer to speak in tongues, like professing Christians in the charismatic movement do. Others claim that unless one has spoken in tongues, he does not have the Holy Spirit, and therefore he's not even saved. So they make speaking in tongues an evidence of salvation. If you haven't spoken in tongues, you're not saved. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 29 to 31a, answers concerns about these matters. So we've studied the passage in its edifying insight. Let me just read the verses here, and I'll read it from the King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 29, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all miracles workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts." From the context, we know that Paul's readers were all believers who had the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, you'll remember what Paul wrote. He said, "I'm writing to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." So Paul's readers were saints. They were called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as true believers, and they were truly saved people. These readers had also all been baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit, and they had all been made to drink spiritually into one Holy Spirit in the sense of utilizing his power for life and for service. Notice verse 13 in the same Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all," not some, "all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So, all of Paul's readers were Christians. All of them had the Holy Spirit. Well, not all of these truly saved people had spoken in tongues. Each of the questions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 29 to 30, about whether the believers at Corinth were all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles, all had the gifts of healing, all spoke with tongues, or all interpreted them, are what are known as rhetorical questions that require the negative answer, and this is how we know. In the Greek New Testament, you have the kind of Greek that is used in the New Testament is Koine, or it's known as Common Greek. When one asks a rhetorical question that expects a positive answer, the indicative mood of the verb is used together with the negative adverb ou, omicron upsilon. But if one asks a rhetorical question that expects a negative answer, the indicative mood of the verb is used together with the negative adverb may. Now, may is very different. It has the letters mu and eta, where the adverb u has the letters omicron upsilon. They're completely different words. Well, applied to this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, 29 and 30, each of the rhetorical questions that appear in these verses have the negative adverb may with the indicative mood of the verb, so they each expect the negative answer, no. In other words, you could ask the question this way. You can paraphrase it. Not all are apostles, are they? Not all are prophets, are they? Not all are teachers, are they? Not all are workers of miracles, are they? Not all have the gifts of healing, do they? Not all speak with tongues, do they? Not all interpret, do they? And of course your answer is no. Now in English, in order to make it a rhetorical question that where you expect a certain answer, you have to add more words like we do in English. But in Greek, all you have to do is either put the may in front of it or the ooh. And so you know whether you should be answering yes or no. Well, Paul then meant to state by his question in 1 Corinthians 12:30b that not all members of the body of Christ in Corinth spoke in tongues. Now this is important. All of the Corinthians to whom he was writing were believers. They were Christians. But not all had spoken in tongues. So here's proof positive right out of the Greek New Testament that you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. So, not all truly saved people at Corinth spoke in tongues, meaning a believer can be saved apart from possessing the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues and apart from speaking in tongues. Actually, if you have to speak in tongues to be saved, you can actually argue that that's a false gospel, a gospel of justification by works, because speaking is a work, or it's a deed. And if you can't speak it, how about a person who, let's say that they have a medical condition and they're in the hospital, they hear the gospel, they believe it, but they can't speak. Does that mean they go to hell because they can't speak in tongues because they're physically unable? See, there would be all sorts of problems with this view. Also, Paul's call to covet earnestly the best gifts does not direct believers to speak in tongues, and we explain. The best gifts in the context were the gifts of higher rank that Paul discussed back in verse 28. And I look back here in the verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12. Notice, God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Tongues is at the bottom of the list that Paul provides. So the best gifts in the context are the gifts of the higher rank. Those gifts first being apostles, second prophets, third teachers, followed in descending order by miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and finally speaking in tongues. Now the greater gifts then would not be speaking in tongues, administrations, helps, and healing, and performing miracles, but rather apostles, prophets, and teachers. Now today we don't have prophets and we don't have apostles, we do have teachers. But Paul had already noted back in verse 11 also that the Holy Spirit sovereignly decided which believer would get which gift. The no believer can obtain the gift he desires to possess just because he wants it. Notice verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That's the Holy Spirit wills. You can't, and I can't, make a decision to trade our gift and say, God, I want to do something else for a while. Here's a pastor-teacher gift, and give me a gift of helps, or, you know, something. It doesn't work that way. God, the Holy Spirit, assigns each one of us the gift that we have. We don't have a choice. It was given to us at the point of salvation. Now, the Greek verb covet earnestly is the word zelao. It means to desire earnestly. We get the word zealous from it. Okay, so Paul is directing his readers to put a high priority on seeking to have God the Holy Spirit assign believers to their body who had the gifts of apostleship, prophecy, and teaching above those who spoke in tongues. Now this is just the opposite of what the Corinthians did. We're going to see when we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Corinthians were having a wild time in their worship services because the people who spoke in tongues were proud of the fact and they'd all speak at once. And it was a mess. And Paul says, you shouldn't be speaking that way, but you're putting the emphasis on the wrong gifts. The gift of tongues is at the bottom of the list as far as honor. You should be putting the gifts of prophecy, of pure apostleship, and so forth, and teaching. So what Paul was saying is when he said desire the greater gifts, he wasn't saying desire for you personally to have the greater gifts. What he was asking is, as a church, you should desire to have that God would assign people to your ministry there who have the gift of apostleship or prophecy or teaching and so forth. Make that your goal. Now, in our later study of 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to learn that the charismatic movement of gift of tongues is nothing like the New Testament gift. I don't know if you know or if you have friends who are in the charismatic movement or not, but many of them, when they speak in tongues, they do something like da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da or that kind of a thing. It's not a language. In fact, a number of them will tell you that we're not speaking in a language. If we are speaking in a language, we're speaking in the language of heaven or the angels and so forth. But they freely admit that it's not a human language. But if you check, you'll remember, and we get to this in Acts chapter 2, the people who were from all the other lands, the Jews from other lands around the city of Jerusalem, when they came together and they heard these Christians speak, they heard them in their own languages, and they actually named the languages. They're Gentile languages. And that's a fulfillment we're going to find out in the future of a promise that God would speak to the Jewish people in Gentile languages as a warning of judgment. And it's going to be interesting to see that caused the people to come under intense conviction. And many people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior that day. But the charismatics do not supernaturally speak in other human languages, where the gift of tongues in the New Testament equipped believers to speak supernaturally in other known human languages that they personally had not otherwise known. So if you had the gift of tongues, what you would have, let's say, nobody here probably knows Hausa, which is a language in northern Nigeria, because I don't think anybody else is here, or Yoruba or Igbo. Those are three different languages. If you suddenly could start preaching the gospel in the Igbo language or in Yoruba or in Hausa, that would be a supernatural ministry. And that's what these people had. They had these gifts to speak in these other Gentile languages. Well, that's not what happens today in the charismatic movement. So we'll get into that in the future, but I'm just giving you a heads up ahead of time so you know what's going on. So even in the early church, not all believers spoke in tongues, meaning one does not have to possess that spiritual gift to be saved. Since the Holy Spirit sovereignly distributes the gifts as he wills, no believer can expect God to give him that true gift by doing anything to get it. The greater gifts God wants believers to seek to have in the body are not tongue speaking or miracles, etc., but teachers. And I left out apostles and prophets because we believe that the apostles and prophets no longer exist. So in application, may we see that the 1 Corinthians 12, 29-31a passage does not condone, but it actually counters charismatic beliefs. Now, I took the time out to give a message in this particular area simply because this is and has become a big issue in today's church. And I wanted especially our young people to be armed with information on this. The Greek New Testament, this is where I wish everybody in the congregation knew Greek, and we could take the New Testament and you could see the words here, but there's no question, but in the Greek, Paul is having a rhetorical question, and the rhetorical questions all expect a negative answer because he uses may with each one of the questions, and so obviously not all these people were speaking in tongues, and it wasn't an issue. In fact, Paul was trying to get them to emphasize the other gifts, not tongues. Many years ago, my mother went to, this is before the tongues movement became an issue. She had some friends who had spoken in tongues, and Mom got interested in that. She was a teenager at the time. So she went to the church where they had this, and she said, I'd like to speak in tongues too. I really want to get to know the Lord and be close to the Lord and speak in tongues. So they had her get down, and they had her kneel, and they put their hands on her. They had the laying on of hands, because that's what the New Testament says, they laid on. So they laid hands on my mom, and they prayed, and they prayed. And Mom tried, focused real hard, to see what the Holy Spirit would do, and Mom could never get it. She never spoke in tongues. And finally, they just said, oh, you'll never get up. And so they quit. They quit trying to pray for her, because they thought she would never get the gift. Well, she went back to the foster parents that she had, because my mother was a foster child, and the foster father that she had was a Baptist pastor. And at the time, you know, tongues wasn't a big issue, so he didn't worry about it, but he thought, what is my daughter, you know, what's she into now? But he just chucked it off as something that's not important. He didn't think it was of the Lord at all. Nowadays, we would take a much stiffer stand, because there has actually been a lot of division in the Church of Jesus Christ over this issue of tongues, whether to speak in tongues or whether not to speak in tongues. But at that particular time, it didn't happen. So my mom told me, she said, son, there's nothing to this. I've never seen, I tried real hard, and I'm one of those that would never, it just didn't happen. And she said, I don't think, I'm pretty sure, she says, I don't have scripture for this, but I'm pretty sure that that's not a gift of the Lord for today. So she said, don't worry about it. Don't even go in that direction. Focus on following the Lord in your life. I thought that was interesting. Mom had had that experience as a teenager and was able to share it with me. But of course, it's become a divisive issue today, so it's worth knowing what the scriptures say on this. And we'll go into more depth when we get up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, obviously. But I wanted to handle this information here. You're saved by faith in Christ, not by speaking in tongues. And the evidence of the Spirit of God in your life is that you have love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control, faith. Those are the fruit of the Spirit, not necessarily a specific gift. You're left with the gift that God gives. And we don't believe that he gives the gift of tongues today.